May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson today from Mark 6. Let us pray as we consider the word of our God. Lord, remind us this day that we cannot live on mere bread alone. The things of this world, they do not truly give us life or hope or forgiveness. Lord, we live on your word, so give us your powerful word today. Plant it deep in our hearts. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a great day for First Lutheran Church and School. It's the middle of the summer, July 15, right smack the middle of summer. And usually there's not a whole lot going on in the church in July, or certainly in the school in July. But today's extra special. We have Abram's baptism. We praise God for his baptism. What a great day for our church and the Sprecher family. Always is a great day when you have a baptism. And we have the installation of Ruth Blackwell following the sermon today. And that's a great day for our church and our school. It's a wonderful day right here in the summertime. And then you had this gospel lesson that Ruth actually picked for today's gospel lesson. Am I right, Ruth? I don't think she did. No, the martyrdom of John the Baptist. How in the world does this fit into a baptismal day, an installation day of a new principal? Maybe I should have chose some different readings that seemed to fit the joy of the day a little better. But I didn't do that because I believe that God's word always fits. We don't make God's word fit into our plans. God's word is there and we fit what we do into God's word. That's how it should work. God's word reigns supreme. The martyrdom of John the Baptist, this kind of grotesque, you know, put the hands over your children's ears when you hear about that one, reading that we have, how's it fit? Well, John the Baptist is a very, very important person in the New Testament. Well, he's an important person in our church here. We read from John the Baptist during Advent as we prepare for Christmas. We hear his call in the desert. We're a little bit uncomfortable at all that at Christmas time. A few Sundays ago, I think Pastor Couch, you read or maybe preached on the nativity of John the Baptist just back in June. He was born 6 months before Jesus, thus June 25th, around that date. And now today we have his death, his beheading. He is a great example for the church. One of the top ones we have in the New Testament. He's a great example for Abram. May the Spreckers teach little baby Abram of John the Baptist. After all, Baptist, baptism. John brought the first baptism in the New Testament as given by the Holy Spirit. And he's a great example for Ruth. As a leader now in our school, for all leaders, be it a principal, pastor, elders, whoever, teachers, John the Baptist is a great example of boldness and fearlessness, doing the right thing at all times. I want to say four things about the example of John the Baptist for all of us. Be newly baptized, a leader, whoever we are. I want to talk about John the man, John's method of dealing with people, John's basic message, and then John's murder. And talk about him as the example of faith. First of all, John the Baptist, the man, his appearance, his lifestyle. You recall this, I'm sure. How did John the Baptist live? Well, I think John the Baptist is a great, great example of self-denial, of self-sacrifice. He is a model, he's ever a strong, vivid model for us in the Bible of Jesus' words. If you're going to come after me, Abram, you're going to come after Jesus, Ruth, whoever. If we're going to come after Jesus, you must do what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And John's a great example of that. He leads the way in the New Testament. He's the first Christian, really, that we have in the New Testament. So he's a great model. And he teaches us right off the bat, John does, that being a Christian's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not coming to church now and then, living my nice, rosy life, buying my 18 cars, having a new job, making a pile of money, and living my life, and fitting Jesus into my life somehow. Christianity is all about Jesus. He takes over my life. He leads me to deny myself, even be murdered and beheaded for him. That's Christianity. It's hard. It's tough. Self-denial, self-sacrifice, because our true home is heaven. And it hits us right in the face. John stands opposed to the sins of America and our day. He stands opposed to the greed of our day, all the materialism. I mean, John didn't have a home. He lived out in the desert in a cave, probably. John didn't have money that we know of. He didn't care about that stuff. He didn't have TVs and cars. He stands directly opposed to all of our greed and materialism, thinking, I always got to have something more. He stands opposed to the glamour of our day. I got to look pretty, I got to look nice, got to buy new clothes, have a new haircut, makeup, all that stuff. I mean, John wore what? Camel's hair. A leather belt. He didn't worry so much about how he looked. He stands opposed to all the glamour of our day. He stands opposed to the gluttony of our day. The excess that we think we need. We read a cute story of a grandmother who asked her granddaughter, what's your favorite food? And the little girl said, nuts. And grandma was a bit surprised. Oh, you're kind of healthy. You like nuts? What's your favorite nut? Cashew, walnut, peanut. What's your favorite nut? She says, oh, no, grandma. My favorite nut is the donut. Now, that's America. Donuts, McDonald's. Burger King, stuff it all in and be gluttons. What was the food of John the Baptist? Locusts and wild honey. In a nation where we say more, 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 I need more, 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 John says be poor, be poor, be poor in spirit, deny yourself and come before your God in repentance. He's a good example, always will be. John's method of dealing with people, secondly. How did John the Baptist deal with people? Was he Mr. Sensitivity? Was he tactful? Politically correct? Always choosing the right word to fit the situation so he wouldn't dare offend anybody? That's not John the Baptist. John was blunt. He was straightforward. He was confrontational, right in your face. He didn't beat around the bush. He beat on the bush, didn't he? John was impartial, whether he was talking to Herod and Herodias, the unlawful wife of Herod, or talking to Pharisees and Sadducees, or talking to the outcast and the tax collector, whoever you were, up here or down here, he was impartial. He said the same thing, repent, be baptized. Remember how John welcomed people in the desert? He didn't say, good morning, how are you? He said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? The axe is at the root of the tree. If you don't produce good fruit, you're going to be cut down. That's John the Baptist. In your face, calling a spade a spade. What are we to learn from this? Well, we never want to be rude to people. We do want to have tact and gentleness. It helps our witness normally, typically. But John's bluntness, his blunt, confrontational style, reminds us how serious Christianity is. How serious this stuff is right here. This is more serious than wars and economy and your job and all. Oh, that's serious too. This is a whole lot more serious. This is about God. And John's bluntness reminds us this is serious stuff. This is heaven and hell. This is life and death. This is Jesus or no Jesus. You're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. It's time to decide. Are you for him or against him, Jesus? You going to believe or not? Be baptized or not? This is serious. Heaven and hell. Your eternity is at stake. So he's blunt about it. I got a text from Ann, my wife, driving home from an elders meeting on Monday night. And the text said, slow down, exclamation point, kids in the cul-de-sac. Now, why'd she give me such a blunt, direct text? Slow down, exclamation point, I think there are two of them, kids in the cul-de-sac. We have kids that like to ride their bikes around our cul-de-sac where I live, and they're running around the road. They don't always care about cars, and she knows how I drive. So slow down. Why didn't my dear wife say, hey, lovely, wonderful husband, would you please consider slowing down? Think about slowing down. There's children in the cul-de-sac. You may murder one. Slow down, please. She was blunt. Why? Because it's life and death. If I run through recklessly, I could hurt and kill a child. That's pretty serious. You'd be blunt in such a situation. You all came to stop signs on the road as you came to church. What's the stop sign say? It says, stop! It doesn't say, would you please consider stopping? It would be nice if you stopped. It says, stop! Why? Because if you don't stop, you may hit somebody and kill somebody. There's times that we Christians got to be blunt. and just say what needs to be said. Friend, you're a sinner, and so am I. You need Jesus to save you. It's time to stop straying from Jesus. It's time to be baptized, to believe, and come to church. It's time now, because I want you to be in heaven, friend. What are you going to do? And don't be offended by me. I love you, and I want to tell you the truth, because somebody has to tell you and look you in the eye and tell you what's going to happen. John's a good example. His message, thirdly, and in one word, John's message is Jesus. John is a messenger, a prophet of Jesus Christ. He is a voice crying in the wilderness. Again, he doesn't matter. He's just a voice, the Bible says. Just listen to his voice. Who he is doesn't matter a whole lot. He's just a voice. He's preaching the word of God. And that voice cries out, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is the light of the world, the bread of life, your good shepherd. Go to Jesus, follow Jesus, trust in Jesus. That's the voice of John the Baptist. He said to people, repent and be baptized. Repent means turn. Who are we going to turn to? We turn to Jesus. We be baptized in Jesus' name. He washes away our sins. Go to Jesus. Remember John said, when they thought he was the Christ himself, John said, no. After me comes one more powerful than I. The thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Jesus. He's stronger. You must go to Jesus. The disciples, John's disciples, are out there by the Jordan River. And Jesus walks by. What's John say? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Go to Jesus now. Go to Jesus. He's your Lamb. He takes away your sins. And then John's famous words, I must decrease, he must increase. There's words for Abram to live by, and Ruth to live by, and me to live by, and you to live by. I must decrease. It's not about me and who I am and how wonderful I am or not so wonderful. It's about Jesus. He must increase in my life and witness. I must decrease. You know, Ruth's main job is not to be our principal. You understand that, Ruth? It's not to administrate our school. That's just a position for her real job, which is to lead people to Jesus. To teach parents about Jesus, kids about Jesus, and to remind our teachers about Jesus. To remind the pastor about Jesus. Abram was baptized. We rejoice in all that happened here. The Spirit given, sins washed away, born again into God's family. Wow! But what did not happen that's also miraculous? What did not happen is that little Abram lies in Jared's arms still. He was not taken up into heaven, was he? Well, why did God leave Abram here? He's cleansed, he's washed, he's God's child. Why did God just say, all right, buddy, come on up? Why has God left that dear little boy here? To point to Jesus. Whether he's a great artist like his dad, a great mathematician like his mom, whether he's a pastor like I prophesy. You now have three pastors. You got Pastor Levi, Pastor Ezra, Pastor Abram. Three pastors. That's my prophecy here. We'll talk about it in 20, 30 years here. whatever his calling is, it's to point people to Jesus. To point people to Jesus. And that's why you're here too. Finally, John's murder. Why is this mentioned? We have some gory details of the scheming of Herod, Herodias, the daughter here, the dance. And then we have the beheading on a platter. Just don't tell me this, God. It's kind of ugly. Why the details of all this? I'll give you a couple reasons. Number one, God is illustrating for us the foolishness of the world in trying to stop his message. Look at how far the world will go to try to stop the word of God. They will scheme and plot and even behead a guy, all to stop the word of God. Let me ask you first, did they stop John from speaking that day? And the answer is no. For his word continued to speak. He's still a voice crying in the wilderness, repent and be baptized. John's spirit lives in heaven. They didn't stop John. They didn't stop his word. His ministry continues. Even more bolder since he died for the faith. God is showing, look at how pathetic the world is. You got kings and queens plotting the death. I mean, you have a king and queen terrified of a poor, lowly prophet who eats locusts and wild honey out in the desert. It shows the influence and impact of the Word of God upon even kings and queens are terrified of it. But even more so, we read of this murder because we're not scared of death. Death is defeated in the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. So we Christians can read about death. We can talk about the death of loved ones. We can talk about the details if we want to, because we're not afraid of it. It's defeated. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So we can talk all about it. We don't deny death or run from death. We can look at it and talk about it because Christ defeated it. John lives. John's spirit is now in heaven. He'll have a brand new head, a brand new body in heaven. This is John's day of victory. This is John's birth. He's born into heaven. It's a great day for John the Baptist. Don't feel sorry for him. He goes to heaven. And we note that. We had VBS, Vacation Bible School, 3 weeks ago. And out here in our yard down here, early in the morning, I was outside getting prepared to play some games. There was a squirrel out there in the yard chasing a Taco Bell wrapper. It was a little bit windy out there, so the wrapper was blowing in the wind. And how did that squirrel react whenever that Taco Bell wrapper would blow in the wind? He got all scared. It backed away. Oh, my. The Taco Bell wrapper's going to attack me. And he snuck up to the wrapper. Then it would blow away, and he got all scared again and ran away and hid behind the tree. Oh, my, that wrapper's going to attack me. And then actually he bit the wrapper, but the wind blew the wrapper around the squirrel's head a little bit, and the squirrel panicked and clawed away the wrapper. And what am I thinking the whole time? You stupid squirrel. It's an inanimate, dead piece of paper. It can't hurt you. Do whatever you want with it. It can't hurt you. But we are like this with death. We're so often afraid of death when we're sick or whatever. Don't be afraid of death. It's an inanimate, dead thing now. Death is dead because of the death of Jesus. Death now is dead because of the death of Jesus and the glorious resurrection of Jesus. Don't be afraid of it. Wraps you up and you're in a coffin. You're not going to be in that coffin. You're going to be in heaven with John the Baptist and all the saints. Enjoy. What are we afraid of? Be bold and fearless like the Baptist. Remain faithful through persecution. The victory is ours in Christ. How we praise God for baptism, installation, and the great example of John the Baptist for us all. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.